In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm Father Celso, and I learned about the divine will when I was a seminarian. In 1976, when I was doing my clinical pastoral education in Springfield, Massachusetts at Mercy Hospital. And it changed my life completely as a seminarian. And I learned about what this is about from that point on. And in 1993, I think it was 93, December of 1993, my bishop gave me permission to work with the Secretariat of the Cause of Luis Picaretta in Corrado, Italy. And we went all around the United States at that time talking about Luisa. And then the cause began in 1994 and on the Feast of Christ the King. So the cause began in 1994. And in 1996, I was asked to go to the secret archives of the Vatican and copy the writings of Luisa with then under Cardinal Ratzinger. And he was extremely happy. This is one of the things I remember. He was so happy that we were there copying the writings of Luisa. This is something that it just astonished me. He was so happy. And come to find out that in Bavaria, in the Benedictine monastery, he, as a child, went to this monastery where Father Bede, in the 1930s, got the writings of Luisa and translated them into German. That was the first country outside of Italy that had the writings of Luisa. And it was as if, I mean, this was the feeling I got. He says, finally, somebody's reading Luisa. That's what I was getting from him. He was so happy. He wrote a letter to the Archbishop in Mexico City that he believes that all the writings of Luisa should be published. That was in 1990 at the cause of St. Honorable de Francia, when St. Honorable de Francia became a saint. St. Honorable de Francia was Luisa's spiritual director. St. Honorable de Francia was also the spiritual director of Melanie of La Salette. So Our Lady, Our Lord taught him, St. Honorable de Francia, to understand, to hear and understand this language of heaven. And that's why he said about Luisa, she's more of heaven than of earth. And then, you know, since then, the cause ended in 2005. And the Archbishop Pacheri, basically said to us, we now present it to the Vatican. We believe Luisa should be canonized. So her writings have been looked at for many, many years. And she had some trouble when she was younger with her spiritual director, who would cross out words and put his words in. No, you mean this. And he'd say to Luisa, no, you don't mean this, you mean this. And when those writings were then condemned. And Luisa says, I condemn them too, because these aren't the words of Jesus. She says, and she loved her spiritual director, but he was trying to help her. And he was saying he didn't understand the language of heaven. So he was mistranslating things, introducing things that weren't accurate. So there was two books that were put on the index. And those were the two books that Luisa didn't write. They weren't from Jesus. And but that was all cleared up. The Cardinal Ratzinger said this is all cleared up. That's why St. Honorable de Francia was made a saint, because he was Luisa's spiritual director. And he put his nihil obstat on the writings and had the Archbishop May of Trani put the imprimatur on. So we saw the imprimaturs on the writings of Luisa when we were in the Vatican. The last part, Archbishop Pacheri said he wanted to put his imprimatur on, but he died. So now there's a new archbishop, and all the archbishops since Louisa's day, just said she is an amazing soul who God is using in these end times, in these last times. And a lot of people are panicking. A lot of people are upset about what's happening to the church, what's happening to the world, what's happening to our country. And Jesus says, I'm in charge. Basically, I'm going to take care of this. So what St. Honorable de Francia asked Louisa in 1924 is, what does Jesus want us to know? Because he was dying at that point. And he says, what do I tell the world about what Jesus wants? So Louisa asked Jesus, and then he asked the Blessed Mother, because St. Honorable de Francia said, what does the Blessed Mother want for the world? So this is the three appeals. One is of Jesus, the divine appeal. One is of Mary, the maternal appeal. And one is of Louisa. And so we'll begin with the three appeals. With his Father and the Holy Spirit, the divine King appeals to his children on earth to come and now enter into the kingdom of his will. So Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you. Okay. So now what he wants to do is show you the way and the how this is going to happen. And that's the book of heaven. The book of heaven is, it's Jesus speaking to Louisa and Louisa putting down on paper what Jesus has said for our benefit. So when he says to Louisa, I want you to write this, he says to us who have the book of heaven, I want you to read this. I want you to study this. I want you to put this into practice. So Jesus says, my dear and beloved children, I come into your midst with my heart all drowned in flames. And here we see the Sacred Heart of Jesus burning in love with us. It's on fire. His heart is split in two because of our continued sins, and it's surrounded by thorns. Our sins are still affecting God, who is suffering because he's done everything for us. He created us and he has redeemed us, and now he wants to sanctify us. So he says, I come into your midst with my heart all drowned in flames of love, and I come as a father to be among my children. This is one of Jesus's titles in his litany, Jesus, the Father of the Age to Come. He says, because I love you so very much. And he says, my love is so great. He says that I, Jesus, will come to remain with you so that we may live together with, he says, with one single will. Okay, so he's saying to us, some families, you have the father has one will, the mother has another will, the children have three or four, five, six wills, and there's turmoil in the house. Jesus says he loves us so much that he's going to come to be with us. His love is so great that we will live together with his will, one single love. So this life of Christ, this love of Christ, this life, love, and light of Christ is Jesus says, I want to give to my people. He says, I want to give to my children. He says, I want you to enter into this abundant life of the new Adam, Jesus, and then the new Eve, Mary. This is what they gave to Louisa. So he says, as I come to you, I bring with you my pains, my blood, my works, and even my very death. So he shows up as Christ crucified. And he says, what I want you to do is, I want you to understand why I died on the cross for you. I want you to understand why I shed every drop of my blood for you, why I want you to even come to me because of my death. I took your place. I was crucified for you so that you would have life and light and love, this life of heaven. So he says, look at me. So he wants us to look at Jesus. When the priest holds the host up at consecration or after consecration, he says, look, this is the Lamb of God. It's our time to look at God, not to look down. I know a lot of people say, Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you. But no, he says, look at me. Look at me. I want you to see what I've gone through for you. He wanted his mother, Mary, the Blessed Mother, to be with him on Calvary to watch him die. We have a great gift in this world, and this is the gift that Mel Gibson gave to the world, the Passion of the Christ. We get a glimpse of what Jesus went through for us. He says, look at me. look at Jesus. When you spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, it's very important that you look at Jesus in the monstrance. You look at him. It's not a time for reading. It's not a time for praying. It's a time for falling in love with God. So he's asking us, would you look at me? He says to Louisa in volume 36, he says, I made the senses, your senses, your sight, your hearing, your taste, your smell, your touch. He says, so that you could experience God. And as Catholics, we see God when we go in front of the Blessed Sacrament. That's Jesus, body, blood, soul, and the divinity of Christ. Saint John Paul II said he wanted every parish to have Eucharistic adoration. Every parish. He said that in the 80s. Why? He says, if you don't spend time with your prisoner of love in the tabernacle, if you don't spend time looking and falling in love with God, you're not going to appreciate what he has done for you. He says you should spend time. And that's what venerable servant of God, Fulton J. Sheen did. He spent time adoring God, loving God, praising God, thanking God, glorifying God, worshiping God every day. And we as Catholics, as we saw with Peter at Mary's Hill, we as Catholics can visit Jesus in a church through the internet. We can be with Jesus every day if we wish, falling in love with Jesus every day. So he says, look at me, each drop of my blood, each of my pains, each of my steps and all the things I did compete with one another because they want to give you my divine will. So Jesus says, I died on the cross. I rose from the dead. He says, this resurrection, he says, I want to give to humanity so that they rise from their misery. He says, even my death wants to give rebirth to the life of my most holy divine will in each and every one of my children. He says, I prepared everything for you in my holy humanity, and I have prayed for and obtained graces, helps, light, and strength for you to receive a gift that is so great. That's the gift of the divine will. Like I said, when I was introduced to this in 1976, I said, this is it. This is what it means to possess what God wants us to possess, not just redemption, the kingdom of redemption, but the kingdom of sanctification. He says, on my part, I have done everything to give you this gift that's so great. So now I am, he uses God's name, I am waiting for you to do your part. And then he said, who would be so ungrateful to turn me, Jesus, away and not welcome the gift that I am bringing to you? This gift of God is coming to humanity. He says, you must know that my love is so great. Listen to this. I will forget about your past life. I will forget about your sins. I will forget about all your evils, and I will bury them. Okay, dirt in the ocean, water of my love, and burn them fire all the way. He's using everything to get rid of them, burying them, drowning them, burning them all away. And he says, why? Because he says, then we, you, Jesus and us, will begin a new life together, all of my most holy divine will. This is the life that Adam got rid of. The life that Adam got rid of was the life, the divine will, the life of God. So what did Adam's DNA look like? What did Adam's DNA look like? It was in God's image. What came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. What's our DNA look like? We get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and we become food for worms. That's not part of God's plan. So he says, what I want to do is I want to bring you back to this new life, which is the oldest life. It's the life that Adam had. This new life, which the new Adam and the new Eve possess. He says that we will begin this new life all in my most holy divine will. He said, who would have the heart to refuse me and send me away without accepting my visit, which is so full of a father's love? So he goes back to this title, Jesus, the Father of the Age to Come. He says, but if you will welcome me, I will remain with you as a father in the midst of his children. And then he says, we must be in the greatest accord to live together with one will alone. It's not going to be my will. It's not going to be your will. What is your human will? How do you describe your human will? It's very simple. When you go to confession, that's your human will. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. I don't want to live this. And I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid any near occasion of sin. Why? Our human will is the will that Adam put kicking out the divine will and putting his will in charge. And all his children have been living like this. So he says, we must be in the greatest accord. We must live together with one will alone. And he says, oh, how I, God, long for this, how I, God, moan, how I, God, cry, and even going into delirium and weeping because I, God, want my dearest children to gather around me. This is what Jesus says about us. In this time, you are my dearest children. He didn't give this gift to the saints because they didn't have Louisa. He told Louisa everything that's coming with this new era, which is the coming of the new Jerusalem. He's saying, this is how you're going to live. I'm going to show you why and how I've chosen you, created you, predestined you to live at this time. So he says, how I long for this, how I moan, how I cry, and even go into delirium and weeping because I, God, want my dearest children to gather around me. I, God, want them to live with my very own divine will. That's what God is offering us. Oh, how much I, Jesus, long for this, how I moan and cry. He says, it has been almost about 6,000 years. So here Jesus is showing us. From Adam to 2,000 years later was the flood. 2,000 years later is the birth of Jesus. So 4,000 years, okay, from Adam to Jesus, and Jesus came to redeem us. And now 2,000 years later, now that's 6,000 years, everything's getting ready for what God is going to do. We are going to enter into the 7,000th year. What did St. John Paul II said? Get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of the church. Get ready for the new springtime of mankind. This third millennium is the seventh millennium. A day will be like 1,000 years. 1,000 years will be like a day. We've entered into this. Everything is ready. Remember what happened in 1884? You had Pope St. Pius, Pope Leo XIII heard the devil say to Jesus, give me 100 years. 33 years later in 1917, the miracle of the sun happened. The devil said, she's going to crush my head. He knows what's coming. He says, I've got to destroy. I've got to get this going. So he had the Russian Revolution start. 100 years goes by. 2017. Last July, the Communist Party of China said, we're celebrating our 100th anniversary of 1921 to 2021. What does that mean? The 100 years is over. That's what it means. That's why everything's falling apart. His kingdom's going down the she's crushing his head. He can't, he knows he has to leave. His kingdom is disappearing. What did Father Ripinger say the other day, last week? He said he heard the devil say, they're taking my power away from me. God is taking my power away. His 100 years is over. The 1,000-year reign is coming. This is a glorious time to be alive. And it's everything is according to God's plan. God is in charge. So he has to give everybody what they want. He has to give everyone what they want. He gave the devil what he wanted. The devil wanted hell. You've got it. Now he's offering to us the kingdom of heaven. And he's saying, do you want this? I will give it to you, Jesus says. So he says, It's been almost 6,000 years and my holy humanity sighed so much and shed so many bitter tears because I, Jesus, want my children to come back and live together with me. I want my children to be around me to make them holy and happy again. When we pray the breviary in the morning, you get to the three promises to Abraham in the canticle of Zechariah. The first promise to Abraham was to be freed from the enemy. When Christ died on the cross, we were freed from the enemy. The second promise is free to worship God without fear. Every one of us that went to Holy Mass today, none of us were terrified. We received the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, and none of us were terrified. The second promise is fulfilled. The third promise to Abraham is to become holy and righteous in God's sight all the days of our life. That's the divine will. Who is holy? God alone. Who is righteous? God alone. And this is what Jesus says. He says, I want you to come back to live together with me. I want my children around me to make them holy and happy because you can't be happy without holiness. Only with holiness are you happy. So Jesus says, I weep and weep because I call my children to come back to me. Who would not be moved to compassion over my tears and my love, which goes so far as to suffocate me? Even choking me. That's how Jesus died on the cross. Among my sighs and agonies of love, I go about repeating, my children, where are you? Why don't you come back to your father? Why do you go away from me? Why do you want to wander about poor and so full of miseries? Your misfortunes are wounds to my sacred heart, and I am weary of waiting for you. Here's our God. And since you do not come back to me, I am coming in search of you because I can no longer contain this divine love that consumes me. And I am bringing you the great gift of my holy divine will. Oh, I beg you. Here's God begging us creatures. I beg you. I plead with you. Be moved to compassion for my so many tears and my ardent sighs. I come to you not only as a father, but also as a teacher among his disciples. I want you to listen to me because I, Jesus, will be teaching you surprising things, lessons of heaven, which will carry with them a divine light that will never go out and a blazing divine love which endures forever. This is what you're going to discover when you're reading the book of heaven. All of a sudden, Jesus is teaching us surprising things, lessons of heaven, which carry with them the light of heaven that will never go out, a blazing love from heaven that endures forever. That's what God is bringing to us. I love reading the calendar every day. When you read the calendar every day, Jesus is speaking to us every single day, and he's leading us, guiding us, directing us to begin to live this abundant life. What I see when I'm reading this is what I read in sacred scripture. Jesus said, when the spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to you all truths. He will remind you of everything that I have said. That's what I'm finding in the book of heaven. This is that. Now remember, this letter is from Jesus to us. And this is the letter that St. Honorable de Francis said, what does Jesus want us to know? He says, my lessons, these divine lessons, will give you a divine strength and an invincible courage, a holiness which keeps growing more and more. And these lessons of Jesus will light the way for your steps and will guide you along the way to your heavenly fatherland. We're going, the kingdom is coming. Now think about when the kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven, the only prayer that Jesus taught us. What does that mean? The evil one who's been banished from heaven will be banished from earth. What does that mean? No more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sin, no more death. Do you see what's coming? Listen to what Jesus says. He says, this light will guide your ways along the way to your heavenly fatherland. And he says, not only as a teacher and a father, I come as a king to live among my people. but not for the purpose of levying taxes and helping heaping burdens upon you. No, no, I come because I, Jesus, want your human will. I want your miseries. I want your weaknesses. I want all your evils. That's what's nailed to the cross. All our miseries, all our weaknesses, all our evils are nailed to the cross. They don't belong to us anymore. He says, my sovereignty is really this. I, Jesus, want everything that distresses you and causes you to be unhappy and restless so that I, God, can hide it within my love and burn it all away. He's going to destroy everything in us that is not of God. He says, as a beneficent, pacific, and magnanimous king that I am, I want to exchange my holy divine will for your human will. I want to fill you with my most tender love. I want to fill you with my riches. I want to fill you with my happiness. I want to fill you with my peace and my most pure joy. What does Jesus say to the apostles? I will give you my joy so that your joy will be complete. Everything's going to be fulfilled. Don't be concerned about what's happening out there. Look what's happening inside. The kingdom of God is within you, Jesus says. If you give me your human will, all will be done just as I have said, and you will make me, God, happy, and you will be happy too. Jesus says, I long for nothing else for that my divine will reign among you. Heaven and earth will be smiling at you. My mother will be sure to be a mother and queen to you. She knows the great good that the kingdom of my divine will bring to you. And in order to satisfy my ardent desires, to stop my weeping, and because she loves you so much as her true children, she is traveling amongst the peoples of the nations, disposing and preparing them to receive the dominion of the kingdom of my divine will. All over the world, she's been getting everything ready. She says to Bruno, if you don't know about Our Lady of Revelation, this is Our Lady of Revelation. If you don't know about Our Lady of Revelation, she said to Bruno, the man that was going to kill the Pope, in 1947, 40 days after Luisa died, she said to Bruno, time is now come to an end. And Bruno goes, the end of the world? And she goes, no. The end of this era, the kingdom is coming. We have to understand God has got this all planned. You're not here by chance. You're here for the greatest gift that God is going to give to humanity. This great outpouring of the Holy Spirit is coming upon the earth, and he's trying to get us ready. He's trying to awaken us. This is an awakening that's happening in more ways than one. So Jesus says, she is traveling amongst the peoples and the nations, disposing the people and preparing them to receive the dominion. You ever heard of the word dominion before? The evil one's dominion is going to be gone. The dominion of the kingdom of my most holy divine will. Do you think God just chose these words by chance? He knew the time we were going to be living in. He's got it all planned. We're part of his plans. He says this. He says, it was Our Lady who prepared the people for me so that I could descend from heaven to earth. And now I am entrusting to the Blessed Mother and to her maternal love the task of disposing the souls of our people to receive a gift that is so great. And then Jesus, again, humbles himself. He says, so please listen to me. When you're reading the book of heaven, Jesus is speaking to you. Listen to me, he says. He says, and I beg you, here he is humbling himself again. My children, I beg you, my children, to read very attentively these pages that I am placing before you. And if you will do this, you will feel the need to live in my divine will. And I, Jesus, will be standing right beside you. When you read, I will touch your mind and your heart so that you will understand what you read and truly want, you truly love the gift of my divine fiat. It's a new beginning for humanity. Now we'll start with a maternal appeal. Okay, this is Our Lady, what she wanted. She says, my dearest daughter, when she's talking to all of us, I feel the irresistible need to come down from heaven to make you my maternal visits. If you assure me of your filial love and faithfulness, I will remain always with you in your soul to be your teacher, your model, your example, and your most tender mother. I come to invite you to enter into the kingdom of your mother, the kingdom of the divine will. She says, and I knock at the door of your heart that you may open it to me. You know that with my own hands, I bring you this book as a gift. So Our Lady and Our Lord have said to us, if you have the book of heaven, Jesus gave it to you. I don't care where you got it. This was planned from the beginning of time. Jesus and Mary are giving you this book. And as you read this, she says, you're going to enter into this kingdom little by little. It's not all at once. You read it. You read the book of heaven. You go back, you read it again, and it's brand new. You go back and read it again, and it's brand new. He keeps on expanding our capacity to understand him. He says, I knock at the door of your heart that you may open it to me. He says, with my own hands, I bring you this gift. I offer it to you with a maternal care so that in reading it, you may learn to turn to live from heaven and no longer to live from earth. This is the joy of reading this. You begin to enter into this peace, joy, and happiness of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So he says, this book of heaven is of gold. And if he says, my daughter, to each and every one of us, it will form your spiritual fortune and your happiness also on earth. And in this book, you will find the font of all goods. If you are weak, you will acquire strength. If you are tempted, you will achieve victory. If you are fallen into sin, you will find the compassionate and powerful hand, which will raise you again. That's what Our Lady is doing. If you feel afflicted, you will find comfort. If you're cold, it's the surest way to get warm. If you're hungry, you will enjoy the delicious food of the divine will. With it, you will lack nothing. You will no longer be alone because your mother will keep you sweet company, and with all her maternal care will take care, with her maternal care, she will take on the commitment to bring you, to making you happy. So this happiness of Jesus, this happiness of Mary, is going to be given to you. She goes, I, the celestial empress, I will take care of all your needs. I will provide that you agree, only if you provide that you agree to live united with me. So Our Lady says this, I'm going to take care of you. There's nothing to worry about. The final devotion that Jesus gave to the church through Saint Faustina was divine mercy. He says, the final devotion I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. But it's not only trusting in Jesus. As the celestial empress will take care of all your needs. I guarantee you, Jesus, Mary, I trust in you. Provided that you agree to live united with Mary. If you knew my anxiety, my ardent sighs, and also the tears I shed for my children, if you knew how I burn with desire that you listen to my lessons that are all of heaven and to learn to live from the divine will. In this book, you will see wonders. You will find a mother who loves you so much as to sacrifice her only beloved son for you in order to allow you to live from that very life for which Our Lady lived. Do not give me this sorrow. Do not reject me. Accept this gift of heaven that I am bringing to you. Welcome my visit and my lessons. Know that I will go all over the world. I will go to each individual. I will go to all families. I will go to the religious communities. I will even go to every nation and to all peoples. And if needed, I will go about the entire world for centuries and centuries until I, as queen, have formed my people and as mother, my children, who may know the divine will and let the divine will reign. Here is the purpose of the Book of Heaven. Those who will welcome it with love will be the first fortunate children to belong to this kingdom of the divine fiat. and with gold characters who welcome it with love, I will write their names in my maternal heart. So here, with gold characters, she's going to write our names in her heart, never to be away from her. We're going to be with Jesus and Mary for all eternity, the new Adam and the new Eve. So he says, do you see, my daughter, the same infinite love of God who wanted to use me in redemption to make the eternal word, Jesus Christ, descend upon earth, calls me now into the field once again, entrusting to me the difficult task, the sublime mandate to form the children of the kingdom of his divine will on earth. That's us. Therefore, with maternal care, I put myself to work. I'm preparing for you the way in which will lead you to this happy kingdom. For this purpose, I will give you sublime and celestial lessons. Wait till you read the prodigies of the Blessed Mother. No saint has ever talked like this, because Jesus says, I, as her son, will tell you how the beauty and the love of my mother. She says, therefore, with maternal care, I put myself to work, preparing for you the way which will lead you to this happy kingdom. For this purpose, I will give you sublime and celestial lessons. And finally, I will teach you new special prayers through which you will bind the heavens, bind the sun, bind the creation, bind my own life and that of my son and all the acts of the saints, so that in your name they may beseech the adorable kingdom of the divine will. These prayers are the most powerful because they bind the divine work itself. See, the St. Louis de Montfort says, in the final days, there'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done but what God has done for them. These prayers are the most powerful because they bind the divine work itself. Through them, God will feel disarmed and won over by the creature. Confident of this help, you will hasten the coming of the most happy kingdom. With me, you will obtain the divine will be done on earth as it is in heaven, according to the desire of the divine master. Courage, my daughter, make me content, and I will bless you. This love of God is being given to all of humanity. This love of God, of Jesus and Mary, is getting us ready for what's coming. And finally, the St. Honorable de Francia said, okay, you've given us what Jesus wants. You've given us what Mary wants. Louisa, what do you want? You know what Jesus and Mary want. What do you want? And this is Louisa's appeal. She says, my sweet Jesus, I am here in your arms to ask your help. Oh, you know the anguish of my soul, how my heart bleeds, my great repugnance in making known all that you have told me about your most holy divine will. Because Louisa's desire was to remain anonymous. Louisa didn't want to put anything down on paper. You look at today. Jesus just spoke to me. I'm going to tell you what he said. Our Lady just spoke to me. I'm going to tell you. Louisa says, I don't want anybody to know this. This is so personal. I want to be hidden. That was Louisa. And her spiritual director said, if you don't write this, you're going to hell. For every word that Jesus spoke to you that you don't write on paper, you will go to hell. And she says, I don't want to go to hell. So out of holy obedience, Louisa started writing. She didn't want to put this down. She says, obedience imposes itself. You want it. And although I will be crushed, I am constrained by the supreme force to accomplish the sacrifice. But remember, oh my Jesus, that you yourself have called me the little newborn of your most holy will. A newborn, she says, hardly knows how to stammer. Then what should I do? I can scarcely stammer about your holy will. You will do all the rest, will you not, oh my Jesus? Rather, grant me that I may disappear completely. She doesn't want to be known. She doesn't want to be seen. Let it be your volition, which with divine and indelible letters, dip the pen in that eternal sun, which is the divine will, with golden letters, write the concepts, write the effects, write the value, write the power of the supreme will, of how the soul that lives in it, living in its center, is ennobled, is divinized, is disposes its natural remains, and returns back to its beginning, back to the womb of the Father. back to live this life that Adam had before the fall. Going back, returning to the DNA of Adam. Returning to its beginning and triumphant over all its miseries in the past 6,000 years. Regains its original state that is beautiful and pure and all ordered toward its creator as it came forth from God's hands. She says to Jesus, you write on this paper the long history of your will. Write your pains in seeing yourself driven back by the creatures to the celestial regions. And as sun on high, although rejected, you dart your rays, these rays of love over all human generations. You, Jesus, want to come down to reign in their midst. Therefore, you send these rays of your sight, of your groanings, of your tears, of your intense and eternal pains in seeing yourself exiled in the union of your will and, as it were, broken off from the will of the human creatures. Therefore, you, Jesus, are waiting for them to call you, Jesus, back into their midst to receive you, Jesus, as their triumphant king, to make you, Jesus, reign on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, descend, O supreme will. I am she, Louisa, who first calls you. Come to reign on earth. You who created Adam so that he do only your will, which Adam, ungrateful, broke by rebelling against you. Come and retie anew this human will to yourself in order that heaven and earth may be reordered in you. How I would give my life. This is Louisa saying this. So that your volition be known. He says, I would take flight in its interminable confines to bring to every human being its kiss, its knowledge, its goods, its value, your inexpressible groans, because you, Jesus, want to come to reign on earth so that by knowing you, Jesus, they shall receive you with love and with festivity, make you reign as king. O holy volition, with your luminous rays, shoot forth the arrows of your knowledge, making known to all that you come to us to make us happy, not with a human happiness, but a divine happiness, to give us the lost dominion over ourselves, and that light which makes known the true good to possess the divine will and the true evil to flee the human will. He says, that renders us stable and strong, but with a divine strength, a divine stability. So we'll stop here and be back in 15 minutes in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.